Good as gold. Canada's women are the world's best. An Olympic soccer win in the most dramatic of fashions. And a moment to savor from coast to coast to coast.
From sudden death to pure celebration, the thrill of victory on full display, overflowing with pride for our country's new sporting heroes.
This historic performance, a pinnacle for the beautiful game in Canada. The success inspiring a generation of young players. Good evening. From Tokyo to Toronto, you can feel the tension this morning. The match going all the way to penalty kicks.
That drama making this achievement all the more sweet. Team Canada standing at the top of the podium. CTV's Beth McDonnell is live tonight with more. Beth.
Good evening, Michelle, Nathan. What a game. So tense, so thrilling. I had the chance to watch it on a patio here in downtown Toronto. Incredible to see the emotional highs and lows of this. You could really see it on people's faces. Then came joy.
With players' family side by side, it all boiled down to this final moment. Elation, relief, and tears of joy. Canada's women's soccer team, Olympic champions.
All the training, all the years of practice, getting up for practice, so worth it in this moment. So worth it.
I am so proud of her. I think it was like the 2012 Olympics that inspired her, and she always wanted to play for Canada. And here we are today, full circle, with a gold medal.
A moment culminating over the past decade, intense for fans. A thrilling game that took the country on a roller coaster ride of emotion. Sweden leading in the first half, Canada tying it in the second, then penalty kicks and sudden death.
I'm a mess right now. Wow, like to win like that in penalties and sudden death penalties, being one kick away from losing, it's just insanity.
After that kind of very nerve-wracking first half, after the last two competitions of us finishing bronze, us being the underdog in this, you know, it's incredible. Like, I'm actually tearing up. Oh my gosh, amazing.
And above all, an incredible moment for the players, vowing to change those bronzes to gold and doing it.
Soccer player my whole life, grew up watching this team, and I can't believe we converted this win today. Very exciting.
Yeah. St. Clair's a star. We're just like so happy she finally got her gold. Like, she deserves it.
Team captain Christine St. Clair and her teammates victorious. Their golden moment finally here.
The final score, 3-2 Canada. Such a big moment for these players and the country. Reporting live, I'm Beth McDonnell. Michelle, back to you.
Thank you, Beth. And those who've been following this group will tell you this gold medal just means the world is waking up to something that's been years in the making.
The hard work of the program's past, the triumph of the present, and hopes for an even more decorated future. CTV's Scott Lightfoot is live with more. Scott.
Well, Nathan, the women on this gold medal team all call this country home. But when the Olympics aren't on and they're not training for the Olympics, many of them play elsewhere in the world. Some hope this gold medal win will be a catalyst to change that.
The taste of victory for the Canadian women's soccer team in Tokyo has many in this country hungry for more.
I'm so happy to see us win this game. And it means a lot for Canada. Maybe next we'll see a girls' league within our own country, which should be amazing.
It is one of the most popular youth sports in Canada, and after a gold medal win, some are now calling for more opportunities for young women in the sport.
For soccer in general, you know, we've always taken a backseat to some of the other sports, but when you win the gold, that's world-renowned. Everyone knows who we are now, and our country does too, and I think it's time, like we've heard from other people, it's time to invest in not just on our grassroots, but for bringing a professional league to our country.
Recently retired former Olympian Diana Matheson is already working on bringing a professional women's league to this country.
Let's start to have some of these players play at home. Let's stop watching them overseas. Like, we're incredible in women's soccer, Canada. There is no reason we can't have a league here. So that's the next thing to do. So Julia Grosso can play in a professional team in your city. That's the next thing that has to happen from this gold medal.
And for young soccer players, it could be the key to keeping them in the game.
Having that professional league in Canada. That would be amazing. Having all those players have a place to play in Canada, play in their home, on home soil, and then just seeing the game progress. You know, you have more women coaching and then also have that professional league, more of a pathway for players to then see, okay, I can see playing soccer in the long run. I can play it professionally.
According to Canada Soccer, pre-pandemic, there were more than 784,000 people registered as soccer players, coaches, and referees in this country. Just under 30% of that group were girls and young women.
Of course, those numbers are from before the pandemic. What isn't known is what the numbers will be like post-pandemic. According to the organization Canadian Women in Sport, one in four girls says they're not sure they will return to sport after the pandemic. Pointing live at Cherry Beach Sports Fields, I'm Scott Lightfoot. Michelle, back to you.
Thank you, Scott. And from the pitch to other Canadians on the podium, the medal count keeps climbing in Tokyo as the games begin to wind down. Coming up, the athletes coming home with some more hardware.
But first, to the possibility of delays and disruptions for those at airports and border crossings.
Labor strife that could lead to issues for travelers. CTV's Sean Leithong is live at Pearson Airport tonight with more on this. Sean.
Well, Michelle and Nathan, we have seen long lines at some border crossings throughout Ontario, but here at Pearson today, it was a little bit more quiet.
Job action by the union representing the Canada Border Service Agency had passengers at Pearson expecting long lines.
Truthfully, that's why we're here more than 4 hours early. All we can do is give ourselves a chance and give ourselves enough time to get through.
About 90% of the CBSA workforce are considered essential. So while the border won't be closed, work to rule was expected with Pearson Airport warning, if you're arriving, be prepared for the potential of longer wait times during the arrivals process. The Public Service Alliance of Canada and its Customs and Immigration Union gave notice on Tuesday of work to rule if a deal on a new contract was not reached by today. Those we spoke to at Pearson today said the long lines have not yet materialized.
Super easy. I mean, there was nobody there.
It was pretty smooth and not too many questions.
If I may be completely frank, I didn't notice much of a difference.
While negotiations continue, job actions expected across the country. That includes land border crossings affecting commercial traffic.
In Windsor, it was a much different story. Truck after truck lined the Ambassador Bridge, creating huge wait times.
3 hours, over 3 hours and a half.
Those who are getting through say that the line along the bridge is only a small part of the delay.
At the border, I was all the way up to the bridge in like 5 miles before I get to the border, at least 5 to 6 miles.
Windsor's mayor says he hopes this issue is resolved before Monday.
The border has been announced that it's going to be opened, and I think there's a lot of excitement about that, and we want to see things continue to progress, not go backwards.
In a statement from the Treasury Department today, they said, mediation continued through the night of August 5th. The government is still at the table and will not walk away.
Now, as negotiations continue, the Public Service Alliance of Canada had proposed an update at about 10:30 this morning. That was pushed back to 1 p.m., then 2:30 p.m., and then canceled. As it appears, negotiations continue. Reporting live, I'm Sean Leithong. I'll send it back inside.
All right, thank you, Sean. Later tonight, driveway thefts on the rise in the GTA. The one neighborhood seeing a surge, and the advice to make your car harder to steal.
A clear sky tonight, solid for whatever you have planned. Nalini Sharma is here. Nalini, it's worth noting, it's also hot right now.
It's very humid and hot right now, Michelle. We have the temperature feeling into the mid-30s for the lower Great Lakes. Now, taking a look at our satellite radar, we don't really have anything for the GTA, the surrounding region. There are a few little pops there. When you see this type of day that we've had in the last several days, we just get this daytime heating. There is always that possibility of maybe a pop-up thunderstorm, but again, outside of the GTA. We are looking at shower activity. When you look at these daytime highs here, they're into the sort of low 30s for the most part. Right now, for example, Mississauga sitting at 33, as well as St. Catharines. Closer to home, we're sitting at 34 at the Toronto Islands. Pearson Airport sitting at 33. The overnight low will sit at just under 20 degrees, and the winds will stay light just out of the south under about 30 kilometers an hour. It's very breezy, warm out there. We'll check the extended forecast in the next few minutes.
Thanks, Nalini. This is shaping up to be a tough weekend to get around the city.
The City News Shopper is live over the Don Valley Parkway, which will only be open for a few more hours. Starting at 11 o'clock tonight, the DVP will be closed for annual maintenance. Crews will carry out a range of work from repaving and filling potholes to removing graffiti and litter and inspecting bridges. The city says it's able to prevent as many as 40 daily lane closures with the weekend shutdown. The DVP reopens Monday at 5 in the morning.
Adding to that closure, active TO is back for another weekend. That means Lakeshore between Leslie and Woodbine will be shut down starting tomorrow at 6 a.m. The Meadowway in Scarborough will also be closed from Brimley to Scarborough Golf Club Road, while roads within High Park will also be off limits. The closures are scheduled to last until Sunday night at 9.
And subway riders will be impacted by a TTC closure on Saturday and Sunday. There will be no service on Line 1 along Yonge Street between Finch and St. Clair stations. It's because of work on the Eglinton Crosstown. Shuttle buses will be running and regular service resumes on Monday. And our online team is keeping track of the weekend closures and the impact to your commute. You can find those details at ctvnewstoronto.ca.
A man is dead and a young woman is facing multiple charges after an alleged hit and run late last night in Lawrence Heights. It happened at Dufferin and Rennie. A black Dodge Caravan and a motorcycle collided, and the 18-year-old man driving the motorcycle was killed. Police say the driver then tried to flee, but she was arrested. 28-year-old Kirsten Stevens is charged with impaired driving causing death and leaving the scene of an accident.
Meanwhile, in Barrie, a 27-year-old man is dead after a possible hit and run on the 400. An off-duty police officer spotted his body in the southbound lanes near Dunlop Street just after 4 in the morning. OPP say the suspected driver has now been contacted.
Toronto's interim police chief will remain on the job until at least the end of next year. James Raymer's appointment has been extended. The Toronto Police Services Board says this extension will provide much-needed stable leadership for members of the service and for residents of Toronto as the world emerges from a global pandemic, punctuated by the unique issues it has presented. Raymer will stay on until December 31st of 2022, and Mayor John Tory says he's glad to hear that.
The fact is that while he's been filling in, he's done a great job. He's started the process of bringing about more change than we've probably seen in 25 years. He is respected by the officers. He is respected by the public. We have communities literally asking us to have him continue in his job because they think he is making progress on reform and on change.
Raymer has said he does not want the job full time. During the remainder of his term, the board will continue the process of selecting the city's next police chief.
Turning now to the COVID-19 situation and a case count that's heading in the wrong direction.
The province is reporting more than 300 new cases for the first time since late June. 340 infections have been logged over the last day, as the total since the start of the pandemic approaches 552,000. 149 more illnesses are considered resolved, as that count stands above 540,000. 18 more deaths are linked to the virus, but keep in mind 16 of which took place more than 6 weeks ago. The number of lives lost is now 9,392 in Ontario.
80 new cases were added in Toronto and 41 in York Region. Health officials are logging 36 new infections in Peel, 15 in Hamilton, and 13 in Durham. 10 COVID tests came back positive in Niagara Region and 7 in Halton.
Today's figures are based on more than 23,000 tests processed. Taking the new cases into account, the positivity rate works out to 1.5%. And more than 8,200 tests are still under investigation.
Meanwhile, we're learning of some virus outbreaks at workplaces and at one Toronto hospital. CTV's John Woodward joins us live outside St. Joseph's with more. John.
Nathan, Unity Health is confirming to CTV News they are taking action during an ongoing outbreak. Hospital officials said the 2E Medicine ward at St. Joseph's Health Center had two COVID-19 cases within a 14-day period, one a patient and one a staff member. Unity Health says both cases could have been acquired in the hospital, adding, "We are reaching out to any patients, staff, physicians and learners who had direct contact with a positive case. We have also taken many measures to ensure the outbreak is contained, including closing the unit, testing patients and staff, and doing heightened cleaning." It's one of several recent outbreaks disclosed in Toronto that have doctors pointing out cause and effect.
Well, it's not surprising because we've lifted a lot of the public health measures, so people are getting together. They're not using as much masks.
Toronto Public Health listed an outbreak at the Yonge Street warehouse on August 2nd. It's now declared over. Same with the McDonald's location declared over on July 29th. Not clear whether this was a restaurant or a corporate office. And a concrete company, Premform Limited, is listed as having an ongoing outbreak. All of it a reminder the pandemic is not over.
I don't spend too long in malls. I'm kind of in and out. I don't lounge in areas too much. I'm mostly just outside.
Get vaccinated. Leave the YouTube videos alone and listen to the experts.
I just do my own investigation.
Arthur Gogave says he doubted vaccines, getting a lot of his information from the internet. But 4 months ago, his 64-year-old aunt died after a COVID infection he believes came from a hospital.
I didn't believe from the beginning, but then I was like, realized it's serious after it touched my family.
Gogave says he's vaccinated now, but Dr. Anna Banerjee says it shouldn't take personal losses to motivate people to get vaccinated, saying being vaccinated should be a condition of going to many workplaces and to schools.
And I think we really need to change the way we think about COVID in the way that we need to keep places safe. So homes safe, workplaces safe, schools safe. And the best way to do that is for vaccination.
Something that is not required at this point in Ontario.
Toronto Public Health telling us that of the 10 outbreaks they've counted since July 15th, four of them are in the past week. Reporting live from outside St. Joseph's Hospital, I'm John Woodward. Nathan, back to you.
All right, thank you, John. When it comes to vaccines, 19.7 million shots have been administered since the rollout began. Just under 54,000 went into arms yesterday. 10.5 million Ontarians have received at least one shot of vaccine, and that count increased by well over 11,000 on Thursday. 9.2 million are now fully vaccinated after 42,000 received their second doses yesterday.
Meanwhile, the City of Toronto is urging residents to get their second doses as soon as they're eligible. Toronto Public Health is tracking how many people received a first dose long enough ago that they're due or overdue for the follow-up shot. That count stands at 193,530. The city says it will be contacting those residents as it works to break down barriers to vaccine access.
Some Ontarians will receive their shots on a retrofitted Go Bus as part of a new initiative from the province and Metrolinx.
GoVax buses will be on the road 6 days a week as a fully functioning vaccine clinic with the necessary supplies and trained staff to administer vaccines, offer help, and answer questions.
The buses will head to malls, community hubs, and events throughout the summer and fall, with the first stop scheduled for this weekend. Appointments are not required.
Game, set, and match. Tennis Canada is serving up a way for fans to get vaccinated while attending the National Bank Open in Toronto. A mobile clinic will be on site at Aviva Centre for the entire week of the tournament's main draw. First and second doses will be offered to every ticket holder, with Moderna and Pfizer both available. The first 1,000 fans who roll up their sleeves will get a $50 ultimate dining card, and everyone who gets a shot will be entered into a draw for a VIP experience for two at next year's finals. The clinic opens Monday at 10 a.m.
South of the border, the Biden administration is saying half of the U.S. population is now fully vaccinated. The first dose of COVID-19 vaccine was administered about 9 months ago. It took about 4 months to fully vaccinate a quarter of the population and another 4.5 months to reach half. Vaccinations in the U.S. reached a record high in mid-April, when there was an average of more than 3 million each day.
For the first time, a woman has filed a criminal complaint against the governor of New York, and Andrew Cuomo's lawyers quickly sprang to his defense.
The governor has repeatedly denied that ever took place. And quite frankly, when she first raised this in early March, he was stunned.
The former employee is accusing Cuomo of groping her at the governor's residence. He could be arrested if investigators determine he committed a crime. Cuomo says he and the woman met on the day of the alleged encounter, but he insists he never groped her. State investigators said this week the governor sexually harassed 11 women.
The full extent of the damage is not yet known, but it is extensive. Nearly 300 wildfires are currently burning in British Columbia, and one of those has devastated Monte Lake. The blaze has grown by an estimated 125 square kilometers in the last 24 hours. It has scorched more than 450 square kilometers since it erupted over 3 weeks ago. Monte Lake is a small recreational town of about 2,600 people.
More evacuations have been ordered in Greece, where wildfires continue to rage on the northern outskirts of Athens and other parts of the country. All hands are on deck as firefighters and volunteers battle more than 150 blazes today. A week-long heat wave has sparked multiple simultaneous fires, making efforts to bring these fires under control even more difficult.
Neighboring Turkey is dealing with its worst ever wildfires. Flames are sweeping through southwestern coastal regions, forcing the evacuation of tens of thousands of people. The blazes began 10 days ago and are being blamed for the deaths of 8 people.
In Northern California, the third largest wildfire in state history is still raging tonight. The Dixie Fire grew by more than 285 square kilometers. That is greater than the size of New York City. The blaze is 35% contained and continues to threaten more than 10,000 homes. Fire crews say it is going to be a long battle.
Returning to our Olympic coverage, more Canadians will be joining our women's soccer team on the podium after a big day for this country in Tokyo.
And that includes another magic moment for a 26-year-old track star from Markham, who now holds a special place in Canadian Olympic history. CTV's Lois Lee has the details.
Andre DeGrasse now stands alone as Canada's most decorated male Olympic athlete. The sublime sprinter surging from behind to anchor the relay team to bronze in the 4x100-meter final. It's his third medal of the Games and the sixth of his exceptional career. Canadian gold medal sprinter Robert Esme says DeGrasse is in a class by himself.
This gentleman has carried Canada on their back athletically. He will go down as one of the greatest sprinter in Canada of all time. That's phenomenal. This young man, and he's got another 3 more years to go. I'm excited. I'm locked in. I'm putting on my seatbelt. Looking forward for that ride over the next 3 more years.
More track glory for Canada thanks to Mo Ahmed, who raced to silver in the 5,000-meter final. It's the first Olympic medal for a Canadian in that distance, and his coach says it's the culmination of a lifelong dream.
It's been a 16-year journey since he was in grade 9 in high school. The dreams and aspirations have just been coming and coming. It's amazing.
It's not exactly walking and it's not exactly running, but Canada's Evan Dunphy is one of the best at it in the world. The 30-year-old from BC striding to the podium for bronze in the 50-kilometer race walk. And it's especially sweet for Dunphy after finishing a heartbreaking fourth in Rio.
I've been working towards this for so long, and it's here now, and I think there's just a real moment of contentment with it now. I think the celebration phase will come when I get home and get to share it with my family and my friends and all that. But right now, we're just a huge sigh of like, ha, we did it.
From the racetrack to the bike track, Canadians Kelsey Mitchell and Lauriane Genet both easily advanced to the fourth round of the track cycling sprint event. They'll have to grind through 3 more rounds of qualifying before Sunday's final. And two-time world champions Laurence Vincent-Lapointe and Katie Vincent won their quarterfinal to advance to the semis of the canoe double 500-meter race. On the men's side, Canada's Connor Fitzpatrick has paddled into the semis in the 1,000-meter after placing second in his quarterfinal race. Lois Lee, CTV News, Toronto.
Meantime, more of Canada's Olympic heroes are arriving back home and sharing stories of their time in Tokyo.
Competing and succeeding on the world stage, the experience of a lifetime. CTV's Zoraida Allman joins us live with more. Zoraida.
Michelle and Nathan, these Olympics have certainly been a different experience for the athletes for a number of reasons, not the least of which is the fact that family and loved ones can't be in the stands to cheer them on due to COVID restrictions. It makes the homecomings especially heartfelt. The whole neighborhood came out to welcome Kyla Sanchez home. Longtime neighbors and friends who've watched the 20-year-old Olympian through the years, working hard, preparing for this moment.
We've seen her go through all the, you know, going for all the meets and the competitions and the hard work that she's put in.
4 o'clock in the morning, she gets up, go training, and then go to class and then still manage to get great grades. So this is, you know, this is... hard work totally. Really deserves this, all of it.
Sanchez picking up bronze and silver medals in the women's freestyle and medley relays, thanking all those who've supported her along the way.
I think anyone would be lucky to have this many people come out to just celebrate this kind of experience that I had for the first time, and hopefully I make many more Olympics and I can fill out this collection and make everybody even more happy.
Anchoring those medal-winning relays, teammate Penny Oleksiak, who after reaching the podium three times in Tokyo, is now Canada's most decorated Olympian. Oleksiak says the pandemic actually helped her prepare for the Games.
I put in a lot of work and I was talking with a lot of people, and I had to figure out my priorities and get everything kind of straight for me to come back into training for the Olympics. And I was pretty much more motivated than ever, honestly.
Damian Warner credits his mother for instilling in him at a very young age the belief that you can do anything you set your mind to. Warner credits his gold medal win in the decathlon to his coaches and what he calls his amazing support system in his hometown of London, Ontario.
It's just really crazy and hard for me to understand how so many people have invested so much time and energy into one person's life, and I just hope that I was able to make them proud and show them that all their time and investment was worth it.
Already setting his sights on goals beyond the gold.
And Warner says he wants to win a world championship next and also become the world record holder in decathlon. No rest for Kyla Sanchez. She heads off to the International Swimming League in Italy, competing there until the end of September. And Penny Oleksiak says she's got some projects outside of swimming in the works, so expect to be seeing more of her soon. I'm Zoraida Allman. Michelle, back to you.
Thanks, Zoraida. Honoring her work as a healthcare hero in a unique way, we meet the Toronto doctor who now has her very own Barbie doll.
And I'm Pat Foran. Coming up on Consumer Alert, car thieves have gone on a major crime spree in the Scarborough area. Toronto police issued a warning after 30 cars were stolen in just 9 days. Vehicles are being taken while people are sleeping, and they can be in and out of your driveway in minutes. I'll have my report just ahead.
Well, the heat and humidity will continue for tomorrow. The daytime high at 29, feeling closer to 33 with the Humidex. Light winds, your sunrise at 6:13 a.m. Here's a look right now at temperatures across the GTA. We're sitting at about 26 to 28. And with the Humidex, we are at 33. We have increasing Humidex values into early next week. Those details just after the break.
Auto theft has been an ongoing problem in the GTA, but there has been such a jump in vehicles being stolen, Toronto police issued a public safety alert.
More than 50 vehicles have been stolen in Scarborough over the past month. 30 of those thefts happened in just the past 9 days. Pat Foran has our story on Consumer Alert. Pat.
I do, Nathan and Michelle. Car thieves have been able to stay one step ahead of auto manufacturers, and they can now steal a vehicle in just minutes. It's leading to frustration for owners and the police and higher insurance costs for everyone. Car thieves steal on average about 14 vehicles a day in Toronto. When criminals went on a crime spree taking more than 50 high-end vehicles over a month from Scarborough neighborhoods, police felt they should issue a public safety alert.
We know it's a problem across the GTA. It comes in spurts in different divisions.
Criminals have been targeting late model Lexus RX350s, Toyota SUVs, and Honda CRVs. Police released security video showing just how easily and quickly vehicles are being stolen while people sleep. They're using devices to reprogram key fobs.
What they do is they put a signal to a new fob and they circumvent the system, and they get the computer to now start talking to their fob. It takes about 7 minutes.
The cop had mentioned that 2 to 10 cars a day are being stolen. Like, that's just crazy to me.
Claudia asked us not to identify her, but says her Ford pickup truck was stolen last week. Along with losing the truck, she lost expensive phones, child strollers, and camping equipment. It was stolen from the Casino Woodbine parking lot.
I never thought in my head that, you know, it would be so easy to get into this basically brand new 2018 Ford F-150. This big blue truck was just so easily taken.
The Insurance Bureau of Canada says auto theft is a growing problem right across Canada.
Many of these vehicles are shipped overseas, and many of these vehicles are revinned and sold to unsuspecting people in Ontario and across the country.
To try and prevent vehicles being stolen, park in the garage, use a secondary alarm system, cover the vehicle identification number located on the dashboard at the bottom of the windshield, add a tracking device, and do not leave key fobs near the front door. Police say these things can help, but there is no guarantee thieves still won't get your vehicle.
And Ontario has the highest number of auto thefts in the country. Almost 24,000 vehicles were stolen last year. It's hoped auto manufacturers can do more so their vehicles aren't so easy to steal. On your side, I'm Pat Foran.
If you have a consumer story idea, email us at alert@ctv.ca.
All right, to the forecast, the weekend is approaching and a bit of rain, but it looks pretty good.
Let's sail into the weekend. Looks so gorgeous. Great to be by the water. And Eleni, it's nice to see the forecast kind of shifting throughout the week, and now there are some dry days.
There are dry days. We do have a little bit of wet weather for tomorrow, and then we dry out actually pretty quickly by tomorrow night. We'll look at that in just a second, but weather first is brought to you by Train for home comfort, cooling, and clean air. It's hard to stop a train. Now, we're talking about the fact that we've had hot, hazy, humid conditions for the last few days, and that's continuing. We actually have a few thunderstorms moving through, not right here into the GTA, but up towards Barrie. That's just being picked up right now on our satellite radar. For the lower Great Lakes, it's just really hazy out there, but when you get this daytime heating, it is possible to see maybe a thunderstorm or two develop, particularly as we get into tomorrow. We are expecting showers. We could see a few thunderstorms at about 2, 3 o'clock into the afternoon. Bit of a break, and then again, a few showers by about 5, 6 o'clock, and then we start to clear out, and Sunday is maybe a few isolated showers, the weather story for the morning, cloud cover, and that clears out, giving us, again, a really hot afternoon with the humidex into the 30s. For tonight's overnight low, we're at 19. The winds have been a little bit breezy out of the south, just anywhere from about 20 to 30 kilometers an hour. So you get that really balmy tropical feel to the air. And that's what we have, not just for the rest of today, but tomorrow and early next week. Now, taking a look at the temperatures around us, we have Ajax sitting at 32, the island sitting at 34. Right now, Niagara Falls, 33, St. Catharines, 35. And closer to home, we're expecting that tomorrow's daytime high will sit at 35 with the humidex value factored into that. Even with the shower activity, the UV index for tomorrow sits at 8, so sunscreen is a good idea. In terms of these systems that we have moving through, we've had the high pressure dominate us for the last little bit. We have that low that we'll track through, and that's what will trigger off the showers as we make our way into tomorrow. So Saturday, if you have plans this weekend, you're up at the cottage, it's not a complete washout of a day. You have a dry start, the showers roll through into the afternoon, maybe a few thunderstorms, it clears out, and then we have a humid evening with the overnight low at about 19-20 for much of southern Ontario. Tomorrow we'll feel closer to 35. Sunday we're looking at the humidex at 37, and as we make our way into early next week, it will be just shy of about 40 degrees with the humidex as the temperature climbs up to 30 for Monday, 27 to 28 or so on average for Tuesday, Wednesday, and into next week. So over the next few days, it's just hot, it's really humid, very hazy, and tomorrow's showers into the afternoon, and then drier conditions expected for your Sunday. We'll be back just after this short break.
It's a high-tech method that could play a role in helping those living with glaucoma.
The technology developed in Toronto. CTV's health reporter Pauline Chan has more.
Dennis Graff says he tried drops and even laser treatments for his glaucoma, the leading cause of blindness in Canada. But nothing really helped, and he had trouble with the visual field tests normally done to monitor the progression of the condition.
When you do field vision, you must stare at this little light, and my eyes tended to wander. And, of course, the machine would keep saying, you know, would alert me that I had to move back into a certain position.
Then in 2019, he began going to the Donald K. Johnson Eye Institute at UHN, where he was given a new way to do the visual field tests at home. The Toronto Portable Perimeter, or TPP, includes a virtual reality headset and a clicker to press each time he sees the dot blink. The data is automatically sent back to his eye specialists.
They can do it in the comfort of their home on their sofa, so they can be very relaxed and they don't have to come into hospital to do this test.
Bill Shi says it's cheap and, during the pandemic, safer.
And basically it's a camera, a phone inside that has information on it.
Keep your head upright and keep the indicator green and inside the box.
Graf clicks as the dots move around his field of vision, testing any blind spots. Last year, Graf had surgery, but he still has to test his vision each week to monitor any changes.
We believe this could be a very cost-saving measure for the healthcare system and also for the patient.
The Eye Institute, run out of Toronto Western Hospital, is currently recruiting more patients to participate in the study. Pauline Chan, CTV News.
The official trailer is now out for Clint Eastwood's next film, titled Cry Macho.
We all have to make choices in life, kid. You have to make yours.
Eastwood plays a former rodeo star paid to take a boy back home to Mexico through some dangerous territory. This is Eastwood's first movie on camera since 2018's The Mule. Cry Macho comes out in September.
The latest episode of Schitt's Creek aired over a year ago, but the show's creators have announced one more treat for fans of the show.
That's a dog treat? Looks like a real treat. What am I gonna do now?
Dan and Eugene Levy have revealed plans for a Schitt's Creek book. It has a wealth of behind-the-scenes details about the production and how the show came together. Best wishes, warmest regards. The story of Schitt's Creek releases in October.
The Weeknd is out with his latest music video. The video for Take My Breath features the Toronto singer in a futuristic nightclub where he and others are taking breaths from an oxygen tank. This marks The Weeknd's first solo single since his album After Hours in March of 2020.
Guns N' Roses are out with their first track in 13 years. The song is called Absurd, and it dropped with this animated music video overnight. It's being billed as a new song, but it's actually a remix of an earlier track named Silkworms. Guns N' Roses performed the reworked track at a show in Boston before its release on streaming services.
Taylor Swift is acknowledging the hard work of her fans in figuring out a riddle she posted online yesterday. The singer had shared a video with jumbled up letters, but internet sleuths figured out it was a track list for Swift's upcoming release of her 2012 album Red. Today, Swift shared the actual track list, saying she can't wait to relive those memories. She added new ones too, since Red, Taylor's version, includes so many songs you haven't heard yet. It releases November 19th.
Updating our top stories, there were celebrations nationwide today as Canada's women's soccer team won their first ever gold in Tokyo. They beat Sweden 3-2 on penalty kicks to secure their place in Olympic history.
Well, it's my hope that the government can come to a resolution with the union as soon as possible so that when August the 9th rolls around, we don't have backlogs of cars trying to cross the Canadian border.
Job action by Canada Border Services Agency employees is creating delays at land borders. Employees have been without a contract for 2 years and are staging job action ahead of the reopening of Canada's borders to vaccinated U.S. travelers on Monday.
Drivers heading into and out of the city will have a number of road closures to deal with this weekend. The Don Valley Parkway will be closed for annual maintenance starting at 11 tonight. It won't reopen again till 5 Monday morning. Active TO closures will also be in effect on Lakeshore Boulevard between Leslie and Woodbine starting at 6 in the morning on Saturday.
Remember to follow us on social media and keep up to date day and night through our website, ctvnewstoronto.ca. And if you ever have a news tip, photos, or video of breaking news, let us know. There is a new push for second doses as health experts warn of a fourth wave of COVID-19.
And that's the focus of a discussion on CP24 tonight. We're joined by co-anchors Rashmi Nair and Jackie Crandles. Jackie, this is a big concern as everyone's encouraged to get vaccinated.
Yeah, if you're one of the 190,000 plus residents in the city of Toronto who hasn't received your second dose yet, you can expect an email, a text message, or a call from the city reminding you to go and get one. It's a shift in strategy here. We're also seeing healthcare workers in the east end of Toronto approaching people on the street, offering them a second dose. They've got them in coolers. So we're seeing this sort of change in strategy. Go Transit is converting buses into clinics. So we're going to chat about this shift with our doctors panel tonight.
And Rashmi, you're speaking with harm reduction workers on the front lines after 172 suspected opioid overdose calls over the long weekend.
Yes, and none of those were fatal, Michelle. But last year, we saw the most deaths in overdoses from opioids. And these are toxic opioids. It's not the drugs themselves, but these added ingredients that are causing overdoses, sometimes fatal. We're going to talk to people on the ground about what the situation is like and whether we should be tackling this as seriously as COVID-19.
Rashmi and Jackie, thank you. And CP24 tonight airs immediately following this very newscast on CP24 from 7 to 9.
On the markets, the Canadian dollar was down slightly to close at 79.63 U.S. American benchmark oil lost 81 cents a barrel to close at 68.28. And the TSX Composite Index gained 99 points to close at 20,475.
Fewer jobs were added across Canada than expected last month, but analysts say the economy's recovery is still on track. Statistics Canada says 94,000 positions were added in July. That increase brought the unemployment rate to 7.5%, a drop of 3% from June. Total employment across the country now stands at 1.3% below pre-pandemic levels in February of 2020.
We're getting a behind-the-scenes look tonight at the work taking place underground for the Eglinton Crosstown. Metrolink shared this video of the changes taking shape at LRT's Avenue Station. Crews have already installed escalators and are working to get rails in place. The video also shows the above-ground work with a look at the future main entrance. Construction on the Eglinton Crosstown is expected to be complete by the end of next year.
The city of Vaughan is lowering speed limits on several roads to make them safer as students return to class next month. The change will take effect in school zone areas on municipal roads only. The speed limit is dropping 10 kilometers an hour from 50 down to 40. Signage is already going up to notify road users of the switch, and that work is expected to be completed by September 8th.
All right, if you have around $500,000 you're looking to spend, you can book a ticket to space with Virgin Galactic. The space tourism firm says they're hoping to begin regular flights next year and start turning a profit from the trips. They're offering single seats, package deals, and even private flights for those who can afford it. Virgin founder Richard Branson made the company's first successful trip above Earth last month, along with five crewmates.
Tonight, we look at Canada's employment picture in the pandemic recovery.
We do need some additional staff right now.
Help wanted as 94,000 jobs are added to the Canadian workforce. That's later on CTV National News.
And a reminder, the CTV News at 6 podcast is available as a download every weeknight, and you can also listen to the show live on News Talk 1010.
She wants to show children there are no limits on their play or potential.
A University of Toronto psychiatry resident has been chosen as the inspiration for a Barbie doll. It's part of an effort to recognize frontline workers during the pandemic.
Opening this box for the first time was an unreal experience for Dr. Chika Oriua.
Seeing the doll for the first time was the best feeling in the world because it's just so incredible to see a doll, a Barbie, that looks exactly like you.
The 27-year-old Toronto physician, poet, and advocate is one of six inspiring women chosen by Mattel for a special collection of Barbies to honor frontline healthcare workers during the pandemic.
What I hope that little girls can really take from this experience is that they can truly be anything, irrespective of what your background is or what you may look like.
And ensuring the accuracy of her doll was a key part of the process for Dr. Oriua.
So it was really important for me that the Barbie had Afro-textured natural hair, that the Barbie had my skin tone as a Black woman and my features, but also that the Barbie was dressed as a doctor.
The doll wears a white coat, scrubs, and has a stethoscope. Among other honorees is UK vaccinologist Sarah Gilbert, who co-developed the Oxford AstraZeneca vaccine. Mattel says Oriua is being recognized for her advocacy against systemic racism in healthcare.
Barbie was such a quintessential part of my childhood. And growing up, I would play with my Barbies and dress them up as doctors and poets and performers and have the opportunity to really ignite my imagination. And so to now, this day, actually become a doctor and be a poet and do all of the things that I imagined as a child, and then to have this opportunity to collaborate with Barbie and create a doll in my likeness has really been an incredible opportunity.
And if you'd like to buy one, here's the thing. The special edition Barbies are not available to buy. Only one doll was made and given to the honoree.
Oh, well, such a great story. Mm-hmm. Nalini, tonight, what can we expect?
Well, we have balmy conditions for us here in the GTA. Up towards the Barrie area, they're looking at the development of some showers rolling through. For us here, we just stay with the hot, hazy, and humid conditions. This is a current look at temperatures into the mid-30s on average. It will feel like this into the evening and overnight into tomorrow. We're looking at the overnight low sitting at about 19 for tonight. For Saturday, the shower activity that we're looking at, it's not a washout of a day. It will start off on the dry side. Cloud cover will build in. Forecast radar put the showers anywhere between 2 to 3 o'clock for the afternoon, clearing out by about 8, 9 o'clock. Very similar weather pattern expected for cottage country. Hot and humid for your Sunday. It will feel just shy of about 40 at 37. And then into early next week, we're looking at temperatures really just on the warm side and humidex values above 35. That's your forecast.
Thank you, Nalini. And be sure to join Zoraida Allman later tonight for CTV News at 11:30.
You can also stay up to date by going to our website. And a reminder, CP24 Tonight with Rashmi Nair and Jackie Crandles begins momentarily on CP24.
For Nalini and all of us here at CTV News, have a good night.
Good night.